Real pleasure to welcome you to our worship service this morning, and we also welcome all of those who are joining us on the World Wide Web this Sabbath morning. If you will look at the bulletin topic of the sermon, you'll see that the focus this morning is going to be on the theme of personal thanksgiving. Many times, as Christians, we think of Jesus as being the problem solver. And so we take our problems to Him. And this is right. We should. He invites us to do that. But at the same time, how many times do we forget to thank Him once He has blessed us and once He has solved our problem and once He has ordained His will in our lives? In Psalm chapter 111 verse 1, Brother Jerry read it this morning, but I'd like to call your attention to it again. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. In some translations it's, I will thank. Praise the Lord. The Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. You know, you'll remember the story, the account in the New Testament, where Christ healed 10 lepers. And after He had healed them, sometime later, one of the 10 lepers came back to thank Him for the healing. And as Christ accepted the gracious thanks of this brother who had been healed, He looked around and He said, "Where are the other nine? You have come back to thank me, but what about the other nine? Where are they?" Well, you know, oftentimes we become so busy and so involved and so ego-centered that the only world that we operate in is our own little world. We forget that there is a bigger world out there, a bigger community, a larger influence that we can have. And so we need, as Christians, not only to thank the Lord, not only to ask the Lord for blessings, but also to thank Him once He has blessed us. The great military leader Napoleon knew the value of thanking his men. He had many, many thousands of men in his army. And he would visit his army, regiment by regiment. Some of you folk have been in the army and you know what we're talking about here. Regiment by regiment. And as he would prepare to visit a certain regiment, he would go to the colonel in charge of that regiment and he would say, "I want to know if you have a man in your regiment who is outstanding, who has proved himself worthy in battle. Somebody that has dedicated himself to our cause of freedom. And if you have such a man and he hasn't been honored, let me know his name." And so the colonel would think for a few minutes and he would often say, "Yes, I have a man. There's a man who did this, that, or something else in our last battle. He showed extreme bravery, extreme dedication to the cause. And I would recommend that we say something special to this man." So Napoleon asked for the man's family information. He asked for the particular battle, about the particular battle in which this man demonstrated his bravery. He asked about the fellow soldiers. He asked about as much personal information as he could. And then as the colonel lined up the men for inspection, Napoleon would go along and at a pre-planned signal from the colonel, would give a thumbs up or something, give a signal, and Napoleon would look this soldier in the eye and he would say, "I'm very proud of you," and he'd call his name. "And by the way, how's your family?" And he'd start calling family members' names. And what about your baby, your child? How's the child? Call the child's name. And after Napoleon showed his personal thanks to this man for his bravery and for his dedication, he then put a medal around his neck and said, "This is the medal that I'm giving you. This is something physical as a symbol of my appreciation, my thanks to you for what you have done for our cause of freedom." And as I read that account, I said to myself, my, what insight that man had. What insight. And as the other soldiers would be standing by and watching on, looking on, they would say, "Look, our leader does know us. Here, he has demonstrated his knowledge of us in an individual way." And so in Psalm 111, this psalm, by the way, is a Hebrew acrostic poem. That is, after the introductory note of praise, each of the lines begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's called an acrostic poem. But I want to look at it a little more closely with you now, please. Praise the Lord. Do we praise the Lord daily? Some translations give thanks. And David says in the first sentence, first line of this poem, "I will thank the Lord with all my heart." When we thank the Lord, do we do it in a perfunctory? Do we do it in a mechanical way? Or do we do it from the depths of our heart? Do we do it out of real appreciation for what He has done for us? In our Sabbath school lesson this morning, Sister Edith was focusing on the theme of salvation through the Master, salvation through Christ. I will thank the Lord with all my heart, not just superficially, but from the very depths of my heart, as I meet with His godly people. And as I read that, I said, what wonderful instruction. We praise the Lord, but we don't just praise Him in private, but we praise Him as we meet with His godly people. And brother and sister, here He's inviting us to come together, as we have done this morning, among godly brothers and sisters, to praise the Lord. Amen. And we're doing that this morning. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. I'd like for you to take just a moment, look back in your life. And if you will be honest and if you will be sincere, I believe you would say that the Lord, you can see how the Lord has directly led and guided you in your life many times. Of course, He's guiding us all the time as His children, but oftentimes we don't realize it. But there are moments when we do realize it, when it's so obvious that our guardian angel has saved us from an accident or from danger. Amen. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. In our prayer meeting this week, we were talking about Noah and the flood and building the ark, the first ship that recorded history has. And Juanita said, "Can you imagine the money it took, the funds it took to build this huge boat, this huge ship? Where did Noah get all of his money?" Well, we know that the Lord owns everything. But we also know that something like that doesn't just happen. You have labor, the labor cost, you have materials cost, you have tools that you have to either buy or make. And I pointed out in prayer meeting, this building is a smaller example of how the Lord has provided. Amen. We started this building, our first bank deposit was $18, and we don't have any wealthy members. But the Lord has blessed, and the Lord blessed to the point that when we started restoring this building to its original purpose, that of worshiping Him, I know He was made happy and I know He blessed. and this is just another example of how here, an example of how He has blessed us here in this very experience, this very building, and the experience that we have been through. So we thank Him for His generosity and for His kindness, and this building has been paid for. Verse 2, how amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in Him should ponder them. When the Lord does something special for us, do we ponder that? Why did He do this for me? Do we think seriously about how and when and why the Lord leads as He does lead? Delight in Him and pondering His good works. Everything He does reveals His glory and majesty. His righteousness never fails. Everything He does reveals His glory and His majesty. Go out at night and look into the sky, and the stars and the constellations of the sky are there because of the power and the might of our Creator. But we don't have to go to the heavens to see miracles. Just put your hand on your pulse. Every heartbeat of that pulse is a gift from God. It's a miracle. There is no man, there is no hospital, there is no doctor, there is no clinic that can make that heart pump that blood except the Creator Himself. And so we have a miracle as close as our heart pumping blood, each heartbeat, as well as the mammoth constellations that we have all been awed by from time to time. Going on, verse 4, He causes us to remember His wonderful works. How gracious and merciful is our Lord. Gracious and merciful. Here we have this powerful, eternal being who calls us His sons and daughters. We're not slaves. We're not hired hands. We are sons and daughters. We're heirs to the kingdom of God. Eternal life. He calls us to remember the wonderful works. How gracious and merciful. Gracious and merciful is our Lord. And if He were not gracious and if He were not merciful, there's not a one of us sitting here within the sound of my voice who would have any chance of eternal life whatsoever. Gracious and merciful is our Lord. He gives food to those who fear Him. He always remembers His covenant, His agreement to live up to His promise that through Christ we all have the assurance, we all have the hope and the knowledge of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So He gives food to those. This is not only physical food, I'm sure He's talking about, but spiritual food as well. He always remembers His covenant. We break our side of the covenant, but He never breaks His side. He has shown great power to His people by giving them the lands of other nations. He showed great favor to Israel. And He, because these nations were heathen and because they refused to accept Him, many of the ancient nations were given to Israel. The Old Testament makes it very clear that the Lord blessed Israel in a special way, but it also makes it abundantly clear that Israel's favor with Jehovah was under the blessings of God and through Moses was conditional. For example, in Deuteronomy 28:1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Jehovah thy God, to observe, to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that Jehovah thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. If thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of Jehovah thy God and observe and do all of the commandments, then I will make you ride on the high places of the earth. And that conditional promise to Israel is also the conditional promise to us.
Yes.
If we follow Christ, and if we do all of His commandments and observe all of the things that He says, then He will make us ride on the high places of the earth, because we are spiritual Israel. If ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the gospel. So we're all spiritual seeds of Abraham when we accept Christ. Verse 7, all He does is just and good, and all His commandments are trustworthy. We like to pick and choose the commandments, don't we? You know, we like to say, well, thou shalt not kill, that's a good one. Thou shalt not steal, that's fine. And we go on down, have no other gods, that's fine. Honor your father and mother, that's fine. But there are some commandments that we don't want to observe, and we just kind of overlook those, don't we? All He does is just and good. All His commandments are trustworthy. 8, they are forever true, to be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. To be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. Now, integrity means serious business. If you have integrity and you are going after a certain goal with integrity, then you are serious about that matter. They are to be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. He has paid a full ransom for His people. He has guaranteed His covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name He has. He has made full ransom, not just part ransom. He gave the full price, the full ransom, which was the death of His Son. How often do we really thank and really appreciate that full ransom of Jesus Christ? Full ransom for His people. He has guaranteed His covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name He has in verse 10. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. Do you want wisdom? Then go to the Lord. Ask the Lord for wisdom. Human wisdom is so superficial. Human wisdom is so limited. God can see the whole picture, the whole puzzle. But you and I only see one or two pieces of the puzzle, and we don't understand what's going on often. And so we know that we have learned, as Christians, we have learned to put our lives in the hands of Christ. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and seek wisdom from Him. All who obey His commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise Him forever. Praise Him forever. An estimated 1.5 million people are living today after bouts of breast cancer. Every time we forget to feel grateful not to be among them, we ought to think of one little girl who had cancer. She had a kind of cancer of the nervous system. And she was, I believe, 8 years old. And her birthday was coming up. So her mother said, well, dear, what do you want for your birthday? And she thought a moment and she said, well, you know, I've been thinking about that, but I don't really need anything. I have a book of stickers and a Cabbage Patch doll, and that's all I need. Here she was, dying of cancer. And she could have had virtually anything she wanted, I'm sure, from Mom and Dad. But she was thankful for what she had. She had a book of stickers and a Cabbage Patch doll. What else did she need? Everything was fine. And so do we, unlike this little girl, do we oftentimes forget the many blessings that the Lord has showered upon us? You know, I really appreciate our church family.
Amen.
I thank the Lord that when all visitors so far that I know of have come, they have left and they have said, we really feel the love in your church. Just read a note from Reggie Heavener, the young man who played the piano for us last Sabbath. How he said that he and the family just felt so much love. And I want to thank you for your generosity to our two visitors and to each other and for the love that you demonstrate. But you know, we have interpersonal relationships that we need to take care of. They need to be cultivated just as a garden needs to be cultivated. This week, Celia and I have been out in the garden pulling grass and weeds. With all the rain we've had, I'll tell you, some of the grass is so deep you have to get a fork under it and it's just almost impossible to get up. The garden has to be tended. Human relationships have to be tended. Thomas Carlyle was a 19th century British essayist and historian. And he had a very devoted wife. She had sacrificed everything for his sake and for his career. However, he was negligent thanking her for her devotion, her dedication, and her assistance to him. And so, after she passed away, Thomas Carlyle found her personal diary. So he opened her diary and he wanted to see some of her personal thoughts, and he started reading her diary. And then he realized the truth. He realized that she had been seeking thanks from her husband over all these years, all these married years. Thanks from her husband for her dedication and her support and all that she had done for him. She was just craving thankfulness. Thanks from her husband. Well, after her death and after Carlyle had read her diary, realizing the truth of his mistake, friend found him at her grave on his knees, and he was suffering intense remorse, weeping and exclaiming, and I'm quoting, "If I had only known. If I had only known." Tomorrow isn't the time to tell that person thank you. May not be tomorrow. Today is the time to thank your family, your friends, for what they have done for you, and thank the Lord for what He has done for you.
Yes.
Now is the time. Now is the time to say that thank you. Closing, a little poem that is anonymous. I wasn't able to find an author, but it's a marvelous poem. Kind of brings together in a nutshell what we've been looking at this morning. "Today upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so gay, and how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch. But as she passed, a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm, he seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm, I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment. Then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, eyes to see the sunset glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we want to first thank you for giving your Son Jesus to die on Calvary for us, to go through the humiliation and the pain and the suffering and the shedding of blood, not for his sins, but for mine. And we pray, Father, that you will accept our meager thanks, which is sincere and from the heart. We also thank you for brothers and sisters in the faith, for the opportunity of worshiping you, for your manifold blessings to us. We pray that you will help us to be sensitive to the needs around us and to the relationships that we have made, not to forget to give thanks in due season. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.